Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Birth Space, A Doula's Guide to Pregnancy, Birth, and Beyond by Gabrielle Nancaro, narrated by Vanessa Daniels. Publisher's note: this audiobook includes bonus material. Please visit tantor.com and type The Birth Space into the search box. Follow the link to the book's page, then, under the supplemental content section, please enter the access code BABY and then click the unlock button to access the bonus material. The code should be entered in all lowercase letters. My birth preferences referenced in this audiobook can be found in the bonus material. Before we begin, my intention for this book is for it to be inclusive of all family structures and non-binary folk. I interchange the pronouns woman, mother, pregnant person, and birthing person, and often refer to partners. I sincerely hope that however you identify, you are able to connect with the words and the stories here. I also want to acknowledge my white privilege up front. I cannot speak through experience to the systemic racism so many people of color face in the birthing space throughout the world. At the time of writing, Black women in the United States were 4 to 5 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In Australia, the maternal mortality rate of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders was double that of non-Indigenous women, despite accounting for just 7% of registered births. We need to do so much more to understand and acknowledge white privilege and to work to overcome racism everywhere, including in the birth space. Finally, I am not medically trained, and while the information in this book has been thoroughly researched, is evidence-based, and informed by professionals, it is not meant to be a substitute for the advice of your healthcare providers. Introduction. Birth is a really big deal, so much bigger than I ever could have imagined back in 2013. When I found out I was pregnant with my first child. At the time, I was living in New York City in a tiny fifth-floor walk-up apartment. We had been trying for a baby for a while, but to be honest, giving birth and becoming a mother were the last things on my mind. It all felt so far away and so abstract. I was also naive, as many of us are when we're doing something for the first time. Without giving it much thought, I found an obstetrician and planned a hospital birth. To be honest, I didn't know I had any other options. In the years since, I have trained as a birth doula and supported many women and their partners as they navigate the birth space. I have had the privilege of sitting with them in their most vulnerable moments and listening as they shared their hopes and their fears. I have also birthed 3 beautiful babies and was actually pregnant with my third as I wrote this book. He grew in me alongside this book. And that unique experience gave such clarity to my words. I know the things you're curious about, the questions you have, the anxieties you feel, because I share them. Actually, we all share them. At the heart of this book, you will find stories from women around the world. I chose to include these stories because I know they will help you feel seen during a time that can feel very isolating. I think it's important to share that this is not a book about physiological childbirth, although we'll cover aspects of it. It is not a book that advocates for one way of birthing over another. This book is to inform you of all your options, to educate you on your rights, and to hold a judgment-free space for you as you tap into your intuition and decide what feels right to you on your birth journey. I've also chosen to dedicate space to topics that we don't talk about often enough, including pregnancy loss, the isolation of motherhood, birth trauma, identity shifts, and the mental load women carry. These experiences are universal, but so often veiled in silence. And finally, please know that the information here is for you to take or leave as you please. It is not intended to feel like work, a to-do list to be checked off. It is simply information that I hope you find helpful. I have been working intimately with women for many years now. And I often find that we get so tied up in the things we think we should be doing that we leave little space for our intuition to guide us. Let's change that. Chapter 1. Conscious Conception. I know it might sound a bit out there, but stick with me. Consciously conceiving your baby can have long-lasting positive impacts for you, your child, your family, and our planet. So what exactly is it, and how can you do it? Conscious conception, a term first coined in the 1980s by midwife Janine Parvati Baker, looks different for everyone, but at its heart, it is preparing your mind, body, and soul for pregnancy, birth, and parenthood. Throughout your motherhood journey, tune into your body and listen deeply to what it is telling you. You are entering into the unknown, into a space that, for all its beauty, also brings fear and hope and change and vulnerability. Let these words guide you, and trust yourself and your ability to make decisions that feel right in your head and calm in your heart. The idea of surrender is an important one. I think it exists in every part of pregnancy and birth, and it is likely alive and well during conception, too. Ask yourself, am I ready to step outside my comfort zone, into one that is not really within my control? You're moving into a place of true vulnerability as you attempt to undertake pregnancy. Jessica Zucker, PhD, psychologist and author specializing in reproductive and maternal mental health. Start by getting to know and love your menstrual cycle. One of the first things many of us do when we decide we'd like to start trying for a baby is to come off some form of birth control. For most of our reproductive lives, we've been trying our best not to get pregnant. Now that we're open to the idea, we'd like it to happen immediately. There are so many good reasons to be patient during this time, to take things slow, and to allow your body time to catch up with your mind and your baby-making plans. The perfect place to begin is by having an awareness of your menstrual cycle and paying close attention to your cervical fluid, the color of your blood, the length of your cycle, and how you feel during it. All of this will give you incredible insight into your fertility and overall health and well-being. The average length of a woman's cycle, counted from the first day of one period to the first day of the next, is 28 days, but can range anywhere from 21 to 35 days. Our fertile window is only about 6 days per cycle. It is essential to know when this window is if you are hoping to conceive or would like to use the fertility awareness method as a means of contraception, which, by the way, has a similar success rate to the pill if followed precisely. To track your ovulation in preparation for pregnancy, start by paying attention to your cervical fluid, the mucus-like discharge that appears about midway through your cycle. When this fluid becomes slippery, stretchy, and egg white-like, it is one indication that you are fertile. Another is your basal body temperature, which you can track using a basal thermometer readily available at pharmacies and online. Take your temperature first thing in the morning every day and track it throughout the month. Just before you ovulate, your temperature will drop slightly, and then during ovulation, it will rise about 0.3 degrees Celsius, 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Once you've tracked your fluid and temperature for a few months, you'll get to know your body's unique rhythm and discover your fertility window. And an important note here, your egg will only live for 12 to 24 hours after it is released. But sperm can stay inside you for up to 6 days after sex, hence the 6-day fertile window. When trying to conceive, it's a good idea to have sex every second day in the lead-up to ovulation, and then also the day after ovulation to give yourself the best chance. Throughout these months of charting your cycle, start also paying close attention to the color of your period blood, as well as any symptoms you're having, such as cramping, heavy or light bleeding, missed periods, spotting, clots, acne, headaches, bloating, mood swings, constipation, and diarrhea. We are so often told that these symptoms are normal, albeit annoying, part of being a woman, when in actual fact they are a window into our hormonal health and vital to understanding our fertility. If you are experiencing any of these symptoms, you might like to find a herbalist, acupuncturist, naturopath, Ayurvedic practitioner or functional medicine doctor who can help you balance your hormones and bring your body back into alignment during the preconception phase. This work throughout preconception will have long-lasting positive effects on your overall health and well-being. Take the time to rest during the first day or so of your cycle and allow others to take care of you. This is excellent practice for postpartum, too, by the way. You'll notice you feel particularly exhausted on the first day of your period and not in the mood to do too much. Listen to your body. We live in a patriarchal society, so menstrual leave from work is most definitely not the norm. But my hope is that this slowly starts to change and that as a society, we can begin to adjust our entrenched practices to sync more with the lives of women. In the meantime, if you are unable to take the day off work, do what you can to take it easy. Allow yourself to say no more often. Whatever your conditioning and stories of periods were growing up, reclaiming your cycle now can be healing. Understanding and honoring the menstrual cycle during the preconception care phase is the beautiful foundation upon which fertility thrives. Honoring the menstrual cycle is honoring the very same process that will nurture, nourish, and grow your baby. Having respect and caring for this aspect of our lives is so important. Lauren Curtin, women's health acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner. Syncing with the moon. The moon moves in a 28.5-day cycle around the Earth, mimicking our cycles, and while there is no real scientific evidence to directly link our menstrual cycle to the phases of the moon, it's not impossible that there is a connection. Lots of babies are born on a full moon, and we know it has a powerful effect on the Earth's tides and on our energies and emotions. Why not start paying attention to its ebbs and flows and note down how it correlates with your moods and your cycle? It can be so fascinating, and many women find themselves ovulating and bleeding in sync with the new and full moon. Magic. Getting your body baby ready, and your partner's too. Aside from taking prenatal vitamins, I did nothing to prepare for the conception of my first or second child. Neither did my husband. When preparing to conceive our third child, I read somewhere that the blueprint for a baby's lifelong physical and emotional well-being begins well before conception. Apparently, the moment your baby is conceived, its cellular health is influenced by the state of your health and that of your partner at that very moment in time. No pressure. While it's really important to be aware of all the things that can impact your baby's health in utero, it's equally important to consider your own mental and emotional health, and to not put too much pressure on what you do and don't do before conception and during your pregnancy. Remember, your body is about to become home to a little being for the next 9 months or so. You're going to grow a human and an entire organ. Then you're going to give birth and, if you choose and are able to, you're going to breastfeed. Then you'll care for your little one on very little sleep while healing from the mammoth physical feat that is childbirth. Go easy on yourself. Do what you can and think about your own needs as well as your baby's. The following is a guide to help you prepare your mind and body for conception and pregnancy. Some of it will resonate and some of it won't. That's okay. Do what feels right and enjoy this time as much as you can. It's exciting. You're preparing for motherhood, maybe for the first time, maybe again. Give yourself time to get used to the idea so you can enter pregnancy feeling your best and ready to experience the life-changing act of growing, birthing, and mothering your baby. So many areas of our lives we can schedule and control. The realm of fertility and guiding new souls to the earth is not the place where micromanagement, control, and domination reign. We have learned and continue to learn so much about fertility, pregnancy, and birth, but there is also so much we don't know, and that we probably never will. Mystery has always walked hand in hand with the rites of passage for women, and is the perfect playground for learning to release the need for control and surrender to the ebbs and flows of life, which is also, again, perfect practice for then raising children once they come through. Lauren Curtin, women's health acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner. Eating and drinking well. Food is the best preventative medicine. Ensuring you and your partner are eating an organic diet, where possible, that's rich in fresh fruit and green leafy vegetables, good quality protein, nuts, seeds, and whole grains, and at the same time limiting or avoiding high mercury fish, caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, processed foods, pesticides, and additives, is a great way to prepare your bodies for conception. Drinking lots of filtered water is important too, as are supplements, to ensure you're getting the right balance of essential vitamins and minerals to support you and your baby. If you're vegetarian or vegan, be sure to keep an eye on your vitamin B12, calcium, iron, and zinc levels during preconception and into your pregnancy and postpartum. Also, it's important to note that hormonal birth control pills are known to deplete essential nutrients needed during our childbearing years, including folate, magnesium, selenium, zinc, and vitamins D, B2, B6, B12, C, and E. So if you have been on the pill for any length of time, be sure to get your levels checked and supplement where necessary. Cleansing your environment. Our day-to-day lives are unfortunately swamped by environmental toxins. Some, such as air pollution and contaminated soil, are hard to avoid. Others we can do something about. Do your best to minimize your exposure and follow these simple tips to cleanse your environment. Switch to natural beauty. Our skin is our largest organ and absorbs everything we put onto it. Now is the time to avoid harsh chemicals, colors, and fragrances in skin and hair care products and makeup. There are so many quality natural beauty brands today. Make sure whatever you choose is phthalate, paraben, and fragrance-free. Go green when cleaning. Purchase eco-friendly cleaning products and make sure they are petroleum, phosphate, and solvent-free. Better still, make your own using natural ingredients from your cupboard like vinegar, baking soda, essential oils, and water. Google some recipes for making them. There are lots out there. Avoid plastics and canned food. Plastic bottles, plastic containers, and cans are laden with toxins that release endocrine, hormone disruptors, into our food and drinks. Numerous studies have linked these harsh toxins to infertility and other health concerns, so best to avoid. Reduce EMF exposure. Some studies have linked EMF, electromagnetic fields exposure, to adverse birth outcomes, but the science is currently not conclusive and more research needs to be done. Everyday sources of EMF include mobile phones, laptops, Wi-Fi, televisions, microwaves, phone towers, and power lines, so not easy to avoid in our day-to-day lives. As with anything, do your best to be consciously aware and take steps to reduce your exposure where you can. In Chinese medicine, Arzung is our vital essence inherited from our parents. When we come into the world with Arzung, like an inheritance in a bank account, we cannot add to it. We can only try to save it and not spend too much throughout our life. In order to prepare for pregnancy, we want to conserve our Arzung as much as possible, ideally for years prior to conception. The ancient texts describe preserving the Arzung through eating a balanced diet, eating at regular times, waking up and going to sleep at regular hours, avoiding overstressing the body and mind, being active without depleting oneself, utilize stretching, massaging, and breathing to promote energy flow, and meditation to maintain the harmony with the universe. Lauren Curtin, women's health acupuncturist and Chinese medicine practitioner. A little bit less idle Instagram scrolling, keeping your laptop on a desk and not your lap, keeping your phone out of your bedroom at night, and making sure your Wi-Fi router is in a room you don't frequent. Don't change the cat litter. Cat litter and feces may contain a parasite that causes toxoplasmosis, an infection that can be passed to your unborn baby and cause miscarriage or stillbirth. If you become infected with the parasite in the months before pregnancy, it could still be in your system when you conceive, so it's a good idea to be tested if you think you may have been exposed. The same parasite can be found in undercooked meat, unpasteurized milk, and soil, so watch your exposure to these as well. Self-care. My interpretation of self-care goes beyond warm baths and cups of tea, although they are both great. When I think about genuine self-care, I think about self-compassion, learning to set strong boundaries and getting comfortable with vulnerability and asking for help. These are the things that are going to support your and your partner's mental and emotional health now and into parenthood. Society dictates that this season of our life, getting pregnant, being pregnant, birthing and mothering, should be joyous. If we're struggling, there's an underlying cultural message that we shouldn't talk about it. This can be so damaging and can lead to suffering and isolation, especially when conception, pregnancy, birth, and motherhood always look so much easier from the outside. I promise you it is not. And while others might not be struggling with the same things, we are all struggling with something at different points in time. As you prepare for motherhood, lean into your feelings. Get used to saying no without feeling bad. Ask for help when you need it, and be gentle on yourself. This, to me, is true self-care. Preconception testing. Some couples choose to have preconception testing done to find out if they are carriers of certain genetic conditions, including cystic fibrosis, Fragile X syndrome, sickle cell disease, and spinal muscular atrophy. Talk to your primary care doctor if you'd like to arrange testing prior to conception. Conscious conception is an invitation to bring your full awareness and presence to the journey of conception, to feel into the intention of conceiving a child and find synergy with your partner. It means tuning into the needs of your physical, energetic, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects of self to heal, to integrate and align to the potential of conception from a place of inner harmony. If you take the time to tune in and explore these aspects prior to conception, you will initiate the healing process before you conceive and set yourself up for a more easeful experience of pregnancy and birth. Zoe Bosco, birth doula and kinesiologist. Making time for your relationship. Preconception is a time of deep intimacy, love, and connection, as well as challenges and insights. The journey you are about to embark on is life-changing and will have a huge impact on you both individually and as a couple. If you both feel supported and on board with the idea of a baby, that is, neither of you is feeling pressured into it, then start talking about what life might look like after the baby arrives. It might feel way too early for such conversations, but you do not want to be blindsided if, at 9 months pregnant, you find out you have differing views on very important things. Here are some questions you might like to use to start the conversation. What if we have challenges conceiving? What options would we be open to? What support will we both need if we experience pregnancy loss? How much time do we both plan to take off work after our baby is born? How will we manage our finances? How will we manage work and caring for our child? What does our child care arrangement ideally look like? What will our support system look like? How much will our families be involved, and do we need to set boundaries around this? What are our parenting philosophies? Will religion play a role in our child's life? How many children would we ideally like to have? How will we support each other's mental health? How will we make time for our relationship after becoming parents? If one partner is more ready than the other, it's wise to take time to uncover the reasons why and work through them together until you are both ready for this huge life shift. Men's health and fertility. Never forget that in a heterosexual relationship, your partner contributes to 50% of your baby's genetic makeup and cellular health at conception. So if you are doing all the things to prepare your body for a healthy conception, so should he. Preconception care should begin at least 3 months before you would ideally like to conceive, as it takes about that long for sperm to regenerate. Foods known to support sperm health include oysters and pumpkin seeds, both high in zinc, green leafy vegetables, folate, foods high in vitamin C and Brazil nuts, selenium. He should also cut out alcohol, high mercury fish, fatty foods, and lower his intake of caffeine. It probably goes without saying that tobacco and illicit drug use should be avoided. Looking after your mental health. What are your everyday stresses right now, and how are you managing them? If you have a history of depression and/or anxiety, both can become heightened during preconception and pregnancy, so it's important to find a trusted mental health care professional who supports you and listens deeply to your hopes, fears, and anxieties through this time. You may feel a need, or pressure, to come off antidepressants during preconception, pregnancy, and breastfeeding. Please remember that your mental health matters so much and must be prioritized. We take on a lot as mothers, and if we don't put ourselves and our health first, our relationships and family life can truly suffer. Find a professional who really listens to you and can help you to balance what is best for you and your baby. One thing that I found to be incredibly useful during my preconception and pregnancy journeys was writing and journaling. Both have helped me to recognize and ease the burden of everyday stress. Meditation and a gentle yoga practice have also been very, very soothing. Finally, if you're not already in the habit of it, practice self-compassion. As the beautifully wise storyteller, researcher, and author Brené Brown says, talk to yourself like you would to someone you love. Pregnancy will change your physical body and challenge your mind in so many ways, none of which you can predict right now. Begin the journey by being kind and gentle with yourself and carry that through into motherhood. Conception, just like birth, is all about surrender. Try to keep that in mind as you move through the days, weeks, and months to come. Checking in with your emotional and spiritual health. It can be surprising how many unresolved issues come up for us when we are pregnant. Some of it can be quite confronting, too. A big part of my work as a doula is giving women space to share and process thoughts, emotions, traumas, and experiences that are affecting their emotional and energetic health in the lead-up to birth. A really good time to begin this process is during preconception. Check in with your feelings regularly and talk about them with someone you trust. They could be anything from how you see yourself fitting into the identity of a mother, to how you were mothered, to how you anticipate your identity, relationships, work, and life changing when you become a mother. What's on your mind? Go deep and explore. Write it down and talk about it. These thoughts will not go away until they have had a chance to surface and be cleared. Let them out. Proper preconception care should focus on emotional and spiritual well-being. What was your childhood like? What would you want to do differently? Is there anything you want to work through before attempting to conceive? How is your relationship with your partner? I also think it is important to consider your motivations for having a child. Have you been culturally conditioned to? Or do you really want to take on guiding a child through life? A bit of emotional deep diving is so good before parenthood. I also think practicing the Buddhist concept of non-attachment is a good idea. Conception is so unknown. It is a great mystery that we must surrender to. If we are very attached to a certain outcome, we may be upset when it doesn't turn out our way. Non-attachment is also a great practice for parenting. Caitlin Covington, herbalist. Stories, Yelena. Reddy was the reason I pushed the idea of becoming a mother to the side for as long as I could. Even when I felt I wanted a baby, deep down I was wondering if it was actually because I was worried I was running out of time rather than being truly ready. From the moment I actively started thinking about motherhood, I also started digging deeper for answers and understanding as to why a child was something I wanted, yet was equally scared of. Why was I avoiding not only the thought of having a child, but also connecting with another person to welcome this child into the world with me? Throughout my conception journey, which took a very long time, I was also facing a journey to my own true self. I had a strong sense that this child was a threat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?